keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom. To get going, lots to be learning, lots to be knowing about people. You gotta teach them, sit them right down, then you gotta teach them about freedom. You gotta win it, gotta put yourself smack dab in it.
Welcome to the Situation Report for November 20th, Lieutenant Colonel Murray. And the situation right now is tense, especially considering that we keep launching missiles at Russia. What could possibly go wrong? Brown liquor and shotguns. Nothing can go wrong there. So it's been an interesting couple of days. I mean, aside from my day job being a shit show and dealing with security issues and all kinds of stuff. So I don't know if you guys have dealt with this site before, but it's called, Was I Pwned? Hang on, I'll tell you. If you want to know if your email account's compromised, go out to this site. Have I Been Pwned? Yeah, let me pull up the URL for you. Enter your email in there. It'll tell you if your stuff's in the dark web. I've had email accounts for 10 years. I know I've been compromised, but it's worth going out there to see, because you'd be surprised how many sites have been compromised. And good security hygiene is to always rotate your passwords. If you're not using multi-factor authentication, a good idea is to change your password every so often. Like 90 days is usually a benchmark in the security business. And use a complex password that's like 10 to 12 characters. I know it's a pain in the ass to remember, but it'll save you a lot of pain later. And then the other thing too is I don't save passwords in my browser. I clear that all out, because the first thing an adversary will do is get on your site, gets on your box, especially malware, it scrapes your password store in your browser because it's usually unencrypted. So that's one piece there. The other piece is if you have a password store like LastPass or 1Pass, use that to store your passwords. My problem with that is that LastPass kept crashing, so I'd lose all my stuff, have to rebuild it, lose all my stuff, and start over again. So the a big part of that is that just keep rotating your passwords and use multi-factor authentication wherever you can. And just so you know how the authentication protocols work, in most cases, you send your password across, you set up an account, you send your password across, it sends, it encrypts a hash, it sends a hash back and matches what hash you have on the other side. And it doesn't pass the password. And most people don't realize that, especially when you have MFA, right? MFA is like, you enter your password in there, it goes across, so then it sends you either a 6-digit number, 4-digit number, or a 10-digit number to enter back in to show, yeah, this is me on the other side of it. And so if your email's compromised, they can't get all of your information. So anyway, it's just something to think about. I would go out and check to see if you have any compromised email accounts. You'd be surprised if you do. Well, don't be surprised if you do. A lot of sites have been compromised. Couple other things to keep in mind too is a bank will never call you. If you've done banking, you should know that if there's an issue with your account, the bank will send you a letter and have you call them. And if, depending on how sophisticated your bank is, if your bank sees a fraud alert, you'll probably get that fraud alert via text message saying, hey, do these charges look familiar? If not, call us. And then always go to the website, call from the website. There have been some very sophisticated attacks in the last couple of months, especially social engineering-wise, where they would spoof your bank. Like they spoofed Bank of America, exact script that Bank of America would use. They sent text messages saying, hey, we've got fraudulent charges on your account. And then they followed it up with a phone call, and they got a lot of people and they got a lot of money. And people willingly would, you know, can you validate your account number? And usually you give them the last four of your account number, just like your social security number. And when you give them the last four, they should validate, yeah, that's the same account. What charges do you see, right? They're not going to tell you what the charge is. They're going to tell you what charges you see, because they're expecting you to log into your account and say, yeah, all these charges are right. So if you get a call from a bank, or supposedly looks like a bank, and they want your full account number, or my favorite one is, hey, a package has been delivered to this USPS location, but we can't deliver it to your address because it's missing some characters. Call us at this number. And it's usually a WhatsApp number. Like, come on, get better at your bullshit. But there are scams where they call you and say, hey, we have an Amazon package for you to deliver, because everybody uses a shit fairy, and we want you to validate this package. Can you tell us what the last four of your credit card number are? And a lot of times they've already got most of your credit card. They're just validating that's the right one and it's still current. And they've got a lot of people doing that too. So be very, very careful. My rule of thumb is, especially with passwords and multi-factors, I usually change my passwords every 90 days. And a lot of times I'll forget the passwords, which is, you know, believe it or not, it may be a pain in the ass, but it's beneficial because it forces you to do a reset and to reset your password on a regular basis. And don't write it down. Don't put it on a sticky note. Don't put it on your desk. Don't put it in your drawer. Remember, pick a password string that you like that's complex. Usually a word or two words put together that don't have any meaning together with a special character and some numbers is usually good. So anyway, it's always a good idea to be as secure as you can. And you would be surprised how much information you have online. Your county assessor, if you bought a home, there's a trove of information on you through the county assessor's office. And they're usually inherently insecure. They've gotten better over the last 10 years, but there used to be a gaping hole of security because people could go fish your information, figure out through the county assessor your property, look at all your property information and glean a ton of information from that, do a couple of social engineering calls, and they would have enough information to go get a driver's license. And that's how identity theft really started. And there was other techniques too, like they would warp drive, and they would use basically a tennis ball can, the old metal cans, and hook that up as an antenna to a laptop and point it and try and scrape Wi-Fi information. Because if you know anything about Wi-Fi, the SSID that's on your Wi-Fi is pass clear text. Even if you say, you know, broadcast or not, it's still pass clear text. So you can scrape the password and the SSID on any Wi-Fi and usually break into them. Where you cross the line between legal and illegal when it comes to war driving is when you browse somebody's network. So let's say you're able to hack into their Wi-Fi, get their SSID and their password, and you connect and you start browsing their network, and you see that they've got a couple of drives open, or they've got a backup drive that's sitting on their network, or worse, a printer. Then the moment you browse that drive, doesn't matter if you have access to it or not, the moment you browse that, that's felony. So I'm saying that because believe it or not, I've had these conversations. And I've actually answered a couple of questions just in the last couple of days about security posture and how much security is right. You always want a passcode on your phone. And if you're in a Starbucks or an open Wi-Fi environment, you don't want to do any banking in an open Wi-Fi environment. You don't want to do any personal or any confidential information transfers on any network that's outside of your home or your business. And that's a couple of one, somebody's always listening. Two, most of those networks are gaping holes. They're wide open. People sit there and sniff the traffic all day and collect packets all day, and you would never know it. And you'll see the same thing, because the newest scam that's been around for about, that's probably 5 years, it's gotten really sophisticated, is you go to a gas station, swipe your card, you hit your PIN number on the card, and it's actually the keyboard that's in front of you on the gas pump is actually a spoof that's sitting over the other one transmitting data. So I always check to see and try and go to gas stations where they have the tamper-proof seals on them. But because I've had credit cards compromised and I've had debit cards compromised, because look, you get out of your car, especially if it's cold, you get out of your car and you want to get gas as fast as you can. You're not really paying attention to the pump. But the tell in most of these cases is there's usually a couple of guys sitting around, either in a parked car or they're standing outside, and they've usually got some kind of a weird device in their hand. And that's how they're scraping credit cards. And it happens literally all the time. So lots of things to think about when you're out there. But the key thing to remember is if somebody calls you and asks for your credit card number, hang up and actually call. You check the website that they say they're from, and then call them back. If you don't have an account with them, just hang up the phone. I mean, I routinely get stuff from, my favorite is, I get stuff from Chase. I've never banked with Chase. I probably will never bank with Chase. And, hey, your Chase account is overdrawn. Oh, awesome. Thank you. Click. The other one is I get these phone calls saying that there's some Amazon order that's hung up. And, you know, I play along and try and take them as far as I can. But they always trip up when you start talking about your location, because they don't know where the fuck you are. They just grab an email off the dark web and shoot information out there. They want to try and socially engineer you, get all of your information from you. And I put it back on them. Like, the guy's calling me. He's like, hey, we have this package you want to deliver. The driver is just down the street. I'm like, oh, well, what street is he on? Oh, well, he's down in 34th. 34th and what? Oh, he's on 34th and 75th. What fucking city is he in? Because there's no 75th around me. Is he in the right city? Well, what city are you in? Wait, shouldn't you know that? They just keep going. Pretty soon they're going to go click because it's too hard. But it's a common social engineering technique. And they've gotten more and more. Now they're doing it through text. So you get all these weird texts. And I remember when I was working for a doc last year, While I was on the phone with the doc, I was getting text messages saying, "Hey, this is Dr. So-and-so. Hey, we're going to send gift cards to everybody in HR. I need you to go to this website and grab all these gift cards." So I show my phone to the doc. I'm like, "Did you just send me that?" He goes, "Nope." I'm like, "Huh, they must have scraped LinkedIn because they have all my information." Like two other people are getting the same text right around me at the same time. It's very sophisticated. If you don't really pay attention, it's easy to get caught up in it. If people don't realize, that's not apathy. That is just normalcy bias, right? We're not used to somebody calling and asking us information. We're definitely not used to people texting us saying that they need something from us. So be very, very cognizant of who would call you and who won't call you. I'm trying to think of the one that was really, really sophisticated. That was just a few months ago. It'll come to me. PDF files are back again, where they're sending PDF files, trying to get you to open stuff with invoices. "Hey, your invoice from such and such is here. We need you to pay this." If you didn't order anything and you don't recognize it, delete it. If it's really serious, they will send it to you by mail, or they will send it again and get your attention. But usually most people know what they've ordered online and what they haven't ordered. And that's usually a pretty easy thing to discern. The thing is good rule of thumb is anytime you get a call from somebody you don't recognize, take a step back and think, okay, have I engaged with this company before? Would I have any reason to talk to this company, et cetera, et cetera. So just a bit of security tips for today, because I had a bunch of conversations mainly yesterday, because there was a bunch of credentials dropped into Telegram from the dark web. It was emails and passwords that were scraped from, they were scraped from the dark web somewhere, and it was for a number of different sites. So obviously users had malware that scraped their browser cache and dropped it into a dump file out on the internet. And they posted it to Telegram. Somebody scraped it and then posted it everywhere else, Pastebin, et cetera. There's a ton of places where they post it. But I saw the whole dump yesterday. It was like 1.2 million email addresses and passwords for a variety of different sites. So that's why I say go out and see if you can find something in Have I Been Pwned? Because that'll tell you right away if your email's been compromised. And then, of course, first thing to do is change your password, make it a long, more complex password. And where possible, I know Google does it now, Microsoft does it now, and a lot of sites will let you plug into Microsoft Authenticator. So you can go out to a website, enable multi-factor authentication, and then set it up through Microsoft Authenticator. I have probably 10 different sites set up through Authenticator that aren't Microsoft sites that I use Authenticator for. And it's free. So just another resource out there. I have Malwarebytes too. I use it on my Mac. They're new to the Mac space. I used to say CrowdStrike was the best, but I won't say that now. Whoops. Cyber Reason is good for an EDR solution. That's an endpoint data recovery solution. The thing with antivirus software is it's a race to the bottom for most of the companies. Like Symantec used to be the one that government used exclusively, and then everybody switched over to CrowdStrike. And now CrowdStrike's like the best game in town, except for the fact that they had that major outage. So a lot of organizations are moving away from them, and they're expensive, but they're still a very, very good solution. And It's worth investing in an endpoint protection application, whether that's McAfee, whether that's Malwarebytes, whether that's Symantec. It's worth investing in that because it's just another layer of insurance. Somebody asked me about endpoint firewalls. My answer to that is no fucking way. They generate a lot of noise. They don't really do a lot of good. They block traffic you want, and they don't block traffic that you don't want. I've never had good luck with them. It's like file integrity management systems or data loss protection systems. They all generate a bunch of fucking noise and they don't do anything. So I don't have any of that shit. I don't even waste time on it because one, it's expensive. And two, it doesn't really give you any peace of mind. It just says you've been fucked. So, and then it flashes for you often. So you see that you've been fucked like every 3 or 4 seconds. It's really, really, really annoying. So it's like that, they used to call it in the F-16, bitch and Betty in the F-16. Altitude, altitude, altitude. Bitch, I know I'm passed out. I can't do much about it. I'm going in. Shut the fuck up. File integrity management is kind of like that. So, but if you hear me say anything, invest in multi-factor authentication, invest in an endpoint solution, and change your passwords often. And if somebody calls you, check out their website and call them back. That's usually a good way to spot a scam. And especially email, be skeptical of email. Look at the header information in email. Look at the from address. If you see a Gmail account or a Yahoo account or some bullshit account that's attached to a logo, you know it's bogus. And I don't even open them. I just, they should go to your spam folder, but if they don't, push them to your junk folder and don't open them. And never, ever open an attachment from somebody that you've never corresponded with, ever, infinity. If it's important, they will email you back and tell you it's important and you can go verify they're legitimate. Otherwise, just ignore it. That's the other reason, another way people get into trouble. The last way people get into trouble, well, there's two actually. The first low-hanging fruit is everybody's got that crappy Linksys router that they haven't updated in 10 to 15 years that's still hanging on by a thread. Update your router and keep it up to date and patch it as often as it that send an alert, because you can go out to the site and send an alert so it gives you a notification that there's an update that is required for your router. And it's super easy to do. Usually you just go to 192.168.0.1 or 0.10 or whatever they use and log into the admin console and you just upload the file and it's pretty easy. Most of them now have applications that go on your computer that will talk to the router for you and do all the heavy lifting for you. You just have to download it when you get the new router. The second way people fuck themselves, which I deal with almost every day, and it's amazing that I thought I repeated myself in a situation report. Oh, no. The thing I say the most, and I'm not making this shit up, don't download porn. It's mostly bad, mostly full of some kind of malware. And I can tell you that probably 80% of the compromises that I've dealt with in the last 10 years, porn, some porn site, some Russian porn site. And yeah, invariably, the story is, you know, I got this pop-up and I clicked on the pop-up. Well, what were you doing when you got the pop-up? Well, long pause. I went to a site I shouldn't have. What site would that be? Were you browsing goat porn or midget porn? What were you browsing? And it's usually some weird fetish shit that gets them in trouble. And it cracks me up every single time. But that said, it is a legitimate concern. And I'm not being facetious when I say that. Because, I mean, I'll embellish and tell one story. So I worked at a company that does travel expenses for a very short time to shut down some of their data centers. It was a contract gig. And I did it just because I needed a break from what I was doing. And I had this application running that tracked what everybody was browsing. And we had a huge call center in the Philippines. I mean, there's like 200 people in this call center. And I'm not making this shit up. All but one, 199 people Literally, the screen was lit with Pornhub, Pornhub, X video, Pornhub, Pornhub, Pornhub. Like 199 people. And just as I was browsing this big list of porn sites that were, and they were all streaming videos, which was killing me, because the network guys were like, yeah, we're running out of bandwidth in the call center. We need to get bigger bandwidth. I'm like, I think you guys should come down here and just take a look at this, because this really is probably your problem. And normally what you do in a call center, since it's a revolving door of people, is you block any kind of internet access to social media. And specific, you have a list of websites. There's a lot of services that do it. Akamai does it. Recorded Future does it. There's a bunch of different companies that do it. They block access to all those, right? So they give you these lists, these access control lists for your firewalls. So it blocks everybody in that site. And literally when they put that access change into the firewall, the bandwidth jumped up like exponentially. And they all went back to their phones. They were all still surfing porn because we were watching the guest network, because we pushed them on the guest network. I said, you watch. We're going to push them all. We'll push them off the main network. We'll push them to the guest network. And they'll all use their phones and go to the guest network. Literally 197 people on their phones looking at porn. You can't make this shit up. Why are they getting paid? To answer phones, no less. So the next time you do time and expense for business travel and you get on the phone with somebody and they're in the Philippines, I want you to think about what they're doing in the background while they're fixing your expense report, because it's probably not something you want to know about. But that usually is a way people get themselves in trouble. And soldiers are the fucking worst for that. Absolute worst for that. But anyway, I digress. So I had an interesting conversation yesterday, and actually it was this morning. Got a call from a DC number, and it was somebody that I didn't know, but knew a lot about me. I assumed it was FBI, but went on to say, let me tell you a story. What if the person you think that should be in the lead office of the land had already been picked a number of years ago? And that person was picked to usher in a social scoring system, a digital currency, and all the control grid that you've been talking about in your shows. And what if the reason that that person was chosen and the people were chosen before him was to create the situation so that it was so bad that everybody would look favorably at that person and sign up for whatever they put in place? And then as a contingency, what if they created a situation where the economy, a wartime situation, and people on the ground, like you've been talking about, actually came together all at one time? As you would say, all these lines of operation converge. And what if all of that was designed, architected by AI, so that they could usher in the elite, that's who he's talking about, could usher in a social scoring system, and they were still on plan, but they were just using a different mechanism that was chosen long ago. The path was chosen, the events were chosen, the players were chosen, the scripts were chosen. He said, what if all those things you were talking about were correct? What would you say? And how would you tell your audience? I said, I'll just relay the story. I said, because here's the truth of the matter. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're legit or not. And I've been fed a lot of BS dates and a lot of BS times and a lot of BS equations. And the people that I've been talking to, especially in the last 2 years, are folks that are in the industry that understand how intelligence works, and what they're hearing and stuff that I was hearing didn't match. So I was aligned with the stuff that they were hearing. And I don't believe anything right now. I don't believe I believe absolutely nothing right now from any camp, from the Trump camp, in the Biden camp. And here's why I say that. I say that for two reasons. One, I'm a cynic and I'm skeptical of everything by nature. But the other reason that I don't believe anything is that everything we've been fed all the way back to 2001 was complete horseshit. From the Patriot Act to 9/11, all of it was horseshit. It was all staged, contrived horseshit. So I don't believe that anything we're seeing right now is real. I do believe that Trump picked his cabinet 2 years ago. I believe that when Kash Patel told me on my show that the cabinet's already been picked, and he said it on several other shows, the cabinet's already been picked, I believe that to be true. I believe that what we're seeing in the press with this conciliatory nonsense from MSDNC and the reading of the legal statement, and by the way, that was fucking epic yesterday, watching those hens on The View choking out that legal statement. You know that tasted like fucking bitter poison coming out of her mouth. Oh, my God, that was so gratifying. I replayed that shit like 15 times on Twitter today just so I could watch that look on her face, that sour, I'm eating a big giant turd right now, and I can't do anything about it. Oh, God, that was gratifying. I tell you, you want to feel better? Go watch that shit. Go watch that bitch on The View talking about that legal statement. Yes, we have a legal statement to read, and there was charges that were brought against, but they were never substantiated. Oh, tasted like bitter fucking poison coming out of her mouth. My God, that was gratifying. Of all the shit I've seen in the last 6 years, that was the best. Absolute best. Man, how long have we waited to watch all those barking seals on The View eat some shit for a change? God! And now I want to see them served up another big pile of dog shit to chew on in front of national TV. But I want Whoopi Goldberg to eat that pile of shit. Oh, God. That would be gratifying. Just saying, not that I have any ill will, but that would be gratifying to watch her eat shit for a change. Now, let's assume that everything this guy says is true. And then let's assume that maybe 50% of it's true. It would make a lot of sense. And look, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. All I'm trying to point out is I get calls like that every so often. Usually it's from some interloper of some rich, you know, Scottsdale Leaf shithead who wants to try and get me under their thumb. But you have to consider all the things that you don't want to consider. If it's plausible, then it's probable. The question is, how probable is it and how plausible is it? If it's plausible that Trump could be the front man for the ushering in of the social scoring system, then there's a plausibility attached to it. And I will tell you that the way that they're trying to dismiss away his conversation with Larry Fink at BlackRock is not working. Too many people are awake to watch this, and they realize what BlackRock represents. And they also have listened to Larry Fink over the last 4 years talk about how people are not going to get a choice. And BlackRock is still the same company that's running around the country buying single-family homes, jacking up the price in every market, driving people to profitability because they can't afford to buy a house because the prices have been jacked up so much. They've artificially raised the price of houses through consumption and sitting on empty inventory. Nobody's forgotten that. And because no one's forgotten that, people are looking at this with suspect eyes, as you should. And more importantly, this conversation around vacancy appointments. We'll see whether or not Trump has the stones to do what it takes to get the right people in place. And we'll see what those people are actually able to do. Because look, let me give you a timeline of how this is going to work. Let's just say if RFK gets into Health and Human Services. First, he's got to get there. Takes a month or so just to get the lay of the land to figure out who the shitbags are. Then he's got to go through a 6 to 8 month process to get rid of everybody that needs to go. And I mean everybody that needs to go. And that's a very, very hard process. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, that was another Bread song, Mother Freedom. I've played that several, a couple of different podcasts. Every so often you got to play that song because it's like, it's motivating for a time like this. Anyway, 6 months in, he's 6 to 8 months, he's got to get rid of the shitbags. And while he's getting rid of the shitbags, he's got to either downsize or cut budget for all of the different agencies that he wants to manage. Now, the piece that he's not going to have direct impact on is he won't have direct impact on legislation. And that is the 1989 Vaccine Injury Act. He won't have any ability to influence legislation. That's where we come in. We have to be all over all of our Republican senators, if you want to call them that, Republicrats, that's probably a better word for them. We have to be all over the senators who are sitting in office to repeal that act. Because what that will do is it will give him the ability to go after the pharmaceuticals for indemnity. And you will find out very, very quickly who is owned by the pharmaceuticals. And then once that happens, then you will see not only administrative orders, but you will see executive orders that dictate, and probably regulations that dictate, what kind of testing, who can validate the testing, who has to certify vaccines, and a very, very rigorous, because it used to take 7 to 10 years to get a vaccine approved. Lots of trials, lots of peer reviews, et cetera. And then, you know, over the last 10 years, they've slowly dismantled that thanks to the sitting mob bosses. But what he's facing is he's facing all the mob bosses from the AMA, the American Medical Association, as well as the FDA and all the people behind them from Health and Human Services and NIAID. So he's got a mountain to climb to get rid of all those people. But if the legislation is overturned, just like the Patriot Act needs to be overturned, if that's overturned, it gives him the ability legally to go after people through DOJ, which is where Matt Gaetz comes in. DOJ can go after the pharmaceuticals for injury to American people and not get away from the settlement. It's not about the money. It's about holding pharmaceuticals accountable and having the teeth in the legislation so they can never get away with this, because that will pave the way for Nuremberg trials to go after the executives and everybody that was on the investment board, as well as the board of directors, guys like Bill Gates. That will bring them to trial for crimes against humanity. There's a process this has to go through. And that's the hard part of sitting and watching this stuff happen, is it's going to be very, very painful. Here's the thing not to get wrapped up in. Don't get wrapped up in the bullshit around the confirmation hearings. That's just left-handed and right-handed masturbation. It's all staged. It's all controlled opposition. It's all theater. It has nothing to do with what they're going to do. What matters is what they do when they get into the office. Like, look at Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. Those two are the biggest fucking turds. I would wipe my ass with them. They're that useless. They're not even, they wouldn't even, I wouldn't even let them lead a squad of diarrhea-stricken men to a fucking bathroom. That's how bad those two shitbags are. And then you add John Roberts to that, and then you have a Supreme Court that's completely tainted. That's how bad those appointments were. And I think Trump learned his lesson this time. And now what they're trying to do is they're trying to stack all the federal courts with liberals before they leave, so that all of the liberal district courts are stacked with shitbags. But here's the thing. Trump can get rid of all of the district, the federal judges, and the federal prosecutors across the board. They serve at the president's leisure. And I can tell you what I would say, especially to the Ninth District: you're fucking fired. Get the fuck out. Don't take anything off your desk. Leave everything in your fucking desk. Go get a lawyer and get ready for prosecutorial malfeasance, motherfucker, because we are coming after you. And there won't be a deal. You're going to Gitmo. That's how that game would go down. Because that Ninth Circuit has been the absolute worst for the past two decades. And then what I would do is I already told you what I'd do with CISA, but what I would do with the FBI is exactly what I would do with DOJ. I would go down to the janitor and get rid of every single fucking leader that was put in place in the last 15 years, and I would replace them with people. And I would, again, I would polygraph these fucking people, and then I would psychologically evaluate them. I would make them take a psychological evaluation. You want to be in leadership in the FBI? You're going to get psychologically profiled. And if you're a fucking sociopath, you're out. Not just you're not going to be a leader. You're out. You're going to fuck off, and you're not going to come back. You're going to fuck off. And I would go through every single leader in the FBI. And then I would refocus them on what their mission is: counterintelligence, federal crimes. And that's assuming that they don't get defunded entirely, which would be a better option, right? DHS, I'd take a hatchet to that one. DHS would be reduced to guys, they'd basically be checkers at a store. And until we get rid of the Patriot Act, they're still going to be around. But I would dismantle all of that airline BS. All of the lines, all of the bullshit related to scanners, all that shit would go away overnight. And for most of those TSA guys, I'd be like, go back to selling copiers. Go fuck yourselves. Most of you are worthless anyway. They're all DEI hires anyway. So, and the other thing I would do away with too is I would keep in place the international restrictions, right? You want to screen international people coming into the country because you don't want to allow anybody to come into the country, and you want that screening process to stay in place. However, comma, there would definitively be facial recognition for people coming in so that we could identify known terrorists and known criminals and known threat actors. Definitely. Because in my mind, and I know people are going to disagree, but you can disagree all you want. You have to have some protections at your port of entries where people come in. So I would beef up security at ports of entry for ships and for border patrol. In fact, I would plus up the border patrol and I would close the fucking border. That's what I would do. At the same time I was doing that, I would dismantle everything internally. And look, the balance here, just like with the financial system, the balance is always what's the right amount of security internally to the U.S. where you're not collecting on American citizens, but you're protecting American citizens and you're keeping the bad guys at bay, right? Because we got a ton of bad guys in the country. And part of that story this morning was not just about the social scoring system. What's the one thing that they need you to do that will make all of their plans possible? They need you to cooperate. They need you to capitulate, and they need you to sign up. So part of the message this morning, if I heard it right, and it's worth at least considering, is that if they get you to voluntarily sign up for OneID or Global Entry or whatever form of ID they're going to use as the initial US branded ID, then remember, you're a part of their system. Lock, stock, and barrel. I hate to break it to you, but if you were a federal employee or a state employee or military, guess what? You're already in the system. You already have a digital ID. In fact, now to get any of your benefits, if you're in the military, you have to have a OneID. I've had OneID for probably 3 years now and didn't even realize it was OneID until this year when they switched it over from the military CAC to OneID. Most people don't even realize it was the same system. And if you are in TSA PreCheck, which I am, or you're in Clear, guess what? OneID. See how they got you? I was screwed anyway because I had a CAC card in the military. So my shit's been there for like 15 years. And It's unfortunate, but it is what it is, right? So the point is, it's going to be voluntary at first. Hey, if you want to help us get these illegals out of the country, you should sign up for One ID, right? Yeah, even for retirees. In fact, if you're a military retiree, I will tell you right now, they're going to switch to a CAT card next year. They are switching everybody to One ID and a CAT card to get on base, to use base privileges, to use military health care or VA. You're all going to have a CAT card. So guess what? It is what it is. And, you know, I think I draw mine next year. You make choices, right? You make choices. And when I got my FFL, sorry, my federal firearms license, I knew that if I went and filed for any disability benefits, which all my friends are like, dude, you get PTSD and all this other shit, man, you're money. And just with your back injuries, that's 60% and 50% for PTSD, you get 100% disability. I'm like, yeah, but the fucking moment I do that, guess what? I'm completely in the system. And I lose all my FFL stuff because guess what? If you have PTSD, they will use that as a reason. Not that they have, but I could just see that. I saw that on the horizon, which is why a lot of guys like me haven't signed up for any of that stuff. But the bigger question is, once you sign up for it, you're completely in the system. So keep that in mind. But look, if we get enough critical mass, which I believe there to be right now, people will not sign up for that. Anything related to social scoring or central bank digital currencies or a digital currency, people aren't going to sign up for that. There's too much critical mass now. COVID did two things. COVID changed the paradigm for the work environment. And number two, COVID changed the paradigm for people to accept any kind of lockdowns or any kind of mandates. So if they try and mandate IDs, they're going to get a big middle finger. They're not going to get nearly the adoption they think they are. And that's why that's important is because most people don't want to live under the thumb of somebody who controls all your transactions, right? And Ed Dowd, he was on Coffee and a Mic, it was yesterday. Anyway, he was on and said that they don't have, for the time being, they can't do a social scoring system or digital ID or central bank digital currency. The infrastructure's not there yet. It takes a huge amount of compute, but they're building that compute right now. Data centers. And have you all noticed the vast amount of apartment complexes that they're building now that are, they're mixed use. So they're apartment on the top and storefronts and businesses and restaurants on the bottom. Do you know why that is? They're building their 15-minute cities right there. They're trying to build as many of those types of rental properties versus single family homes. They're still building a lot of single family homes, but they're building more apartments right now, at least from what I can tell. So if you're paying attention, the things to be paying attention for is who's going to be the Treasury pick. Who's going to be, is it a fucking banker that's affiliated with BlackRock, and is Trump going to hand over and, you know, drop his dick in BlackRock's hand and say, go manage my stuff? Because if they manage the U.S. resources, guess what? There's your tell if he's owned by the Davos crowd. And I don't think Americans are going to put up with that shit this time. Just like today, I saw a number of people on Twitter taking their pronouns off. It's same with LinkedIn. People are taking their pronouns off of LinkedIn. And the other shift that we're seeing, that I'm seeing too in the business world, is I'm seeing people taking the sexual orientation questions off of questionnaires. So the change has already happened. The pendulum's swinging the other way. The thing that doesn't reconcile is what's changing. Yeah, data centers, Turbo. They're building data centers. You need to have compute to manage all the control grid. You need APIs and applications to manage, you know, transactions, quotas, people's consumption rates, that we're talking big data here. You need to have big data lakes in order to manage how people can interact in the system that you want to control them in. So it's, it takes a tremendous amount of compute to do that. And just like it takes a lot of AI. And all of this was architected in China. So they know what it looks like in China, right? And it, if you sign up for one part of the grid, you sign up for all of it. So if you sign up for it, guess what? They can turn off your bank account. They can turn off your ability to travel. And pretty soon they'll put it in your car so you can't travel. They'll set a limit in your car to the amount of driving you can do. It doesn't matter whether or not you're commuting a certain distance. They will make you and force you, push you through turning off your car and your ability to use your own automobile to force you to public transportation. That's what the whole system is designed to do. It's not designed to just limit your behavior. It's designed to control every aspect of your life, what you watch, what you post, what you eat, where you drive, how often you travel, how much you eat. That's what that's the end state they're trying to get to. And the premise that I put in front of you earlier is that they put somebody in a different dress on purpose and created a problem with immigration on purpose so that they could fix the problem by introducing a digital ID and a QR code to get people to sign up for the system. And that hasn't come to pass yet, and it may be BS, but it sure looks like that right now. So my point of all of this is, don't look at what's coming out of the Trump administration. Everything, not everything's good. Because remember, he's the guy that did Warp Speed. He's the guy that put BlackRock in charge of American assets. He's the guy that put Mnuchin as Treasury. And we have to see who he picks this time. If he's actually trying to do something different, or if he's doing more of the same. All of that matters. And it matters because what he says is just words. What he does will have impact for 10 years plus. And look, I will just say this. If Trump goes into office and tries to introduce a social scoring system, or J.D. Vance does, I guarantee you he will be the most despised president in American history, because most of this country will look at him as a sellout. And people have invested a lot of time, money, and energy to bring him to power because they are expecting real justice, real change, and real momentum behind bringing industry back to this country. And if he does anything but that, and his cabinet does anything but that, they will be despised. Because I can tell you, the American people they are fed up. They're fed, like, today was what? Trans Remembrance Day. Okay, somebody answer me, what the fuck am I supposed to be remembering? The only thing they've brought to town is, mass attacks, manifestos that don't make sense, mutilation of children, and the sexualization of children. So tell me what I'm supposed to fucking remember. What am I missing? The whole thing's a bunch of BS. The pendulum's moving the other way from that. But the point is, if the American people don't see a shift, Trump will be the most despised president in American history. Because we are at a fourth turning right now. Good, bad, or indifferent. And while we're on the topic, I read on Monday, I read the note that I sent to all the guys in the roundtable and thanked them for everything they were doing. And the first response was, Colonel, you don't think all this fuckery is done, do you? I'm like, no, but I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to look at the situation objectively, have some hope, not be black-pilled, and start making plans for and visualize what I want on the other side. And again, I was talking to Sharita before the show that she's saying that the fuckery's not over by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't disagree. But one thing I've learned is over the past 2 years, things I saw converging were either stopped or disrupted by alternative media in ways that I didn't anticipate. And the fact that alternative media has such a powerful effect on the entire population now, and more people are paying attention to alternative media, it means their plans are going to be harder to carry out. Just like right now, supposedly the Danish boarded a Chinese ship and towed it to harbor and are detaining the crew because they severed the internet lines between two internet lines, undersea internet lines. Now, the first question you have to ask, which rightfully so, alternative media did ask, is do they have the capability undersea? Because that's we're not talking about, you know, a couple hundred feet. We're talking about, you know, extreme depths. You have to have the technology, the training, the capability, and the equipment to do it. And I'm not so convinced the Chinese, even though they've got a pretty big Navy right now, they have the capability to pull off something like that. Typically, the Americans and the British, specifically the American Navy, are the only ones that have the capability to go that deep and to do that kind of damage in such a precise way. And it's alternative media that's asking those questions right now. And more importantly, it's alternative media that is highlighting the fact about the technology and making people question whether it really is the Chinese or if that's just a scapegoat. Because remember, you can't trust anything in the mainstream, and you definitely have to be suspect of all the videos you're seeing, because there's a lot of AI generated videos right now. So much, and they're so effective that it's very hard to discern whether or not they are real videos or if they're deep fakes. So you have to be very, very discerning when it comes to a lot of the things you're seeing. And I will tell you that probably 90% of what you're seeing is being generated by AI. It's probably closer to 95%. That's probably going to startle people, but look, we can't even really say for sure that Biden's still alive, let alone cognizant. There's been so many versions of the guy over the past 4 years. It's hard to even know if that's real. And we all have our questions about that guy from the beginning. And then there's all these different weird events that have happened at the White House over the past 4 years that didn't make any sense. They weren't based in logic. They weren't standard operating procedure. Because the one thing you look for, especially in a large organization like that, is you look for consistency. You look for normalcy of operations. I mean, there's little quirks in every single different, let's just say every single administration, but those idiosyncrasies, those in and of themselves, those things are minimized anytime there's a change in leadership. And so you look for the consistency, and we've seen none of that. I mean, none of it. We've seen a constant and steady parade of different characters, different heights, different tones, different, I mean, people have talked about masks, et cetera, et cetera. And the question, January of 2021 until now, is who is running the government? That is not normal operating procedure. The illusion to the public is that there's one person in charge that's a commander in chief, and that one person is absolutely in charge and is completely in control of their faculties. That is by far probably the hardest thing for anybody to discern right now, is what and if any of that is real. So my point of saying all this is be very, very suspect of what you see. You know, and I've had people relay to me over the last couple of weeks, let's see how things develop over the next couple of months before you decide to throw in the towel and move on to something else. And I that's why I said I'm going to wait until January, see how things develop. But if things go well, then I've got a plan. One thing I did want to say along those lines is I'm definitively going to retire this channel and move to the other channel I have, which is The Way Forward. So I'll still be doing situation reports, but it won't be on this channel, it will be on the Way Forward and trying to move away from this long name to something shorter. And I want to set it up so that we can do a variety of shows. The guys still want to do a roundtable. Colonel Johnson especially wants to do the roundtable. Matt Everett and those guys are all taking a break. They got their own shows. They got their own shops, et cetera, et cetera. So those guys are all taking a break, which I don't blame them. Everybody's smoked. I mean, we were full tilt all through the summer leading up to the election, and now everybody's taking a breather, as we should, right? Like the capstone event of the election happened. It went in everybody's favor. Everybody's taking a breath, resetting, regrouping, and reorganizing. That's what you do every single time that there's a pause in battle anyway, right? And look, the war's not over. This is just a pause in the battle. And it's a respite to reset and rearm, et cetera. And you should be doing that anyway, right? So we're going to continue to do something moving forward. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know the cadence yet. I've asked one of my admins to do, I have to buy a license, by the way, to do an intro for it. So the show intro will be different. Show's going to be called The Way Forward. And we'll be talking about stuff that needs to change, that we need to rebuild things, you know, and ways to rebuild. And we'll be talking about the Boy Scout type organization and church-based organizations to grow young men into men and into leadership and into selfless service. And that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. I'll wrap it up with this, is that I went to a new church on Sunday and really, really liked this format. And the format is they go through a different book in the Bible every week. And it might seem tedious, but what I saw in there was a group of people from every walk of life, every demographic you can think of. And the place was packed by the time they started. And it was like third service. And everybody was energized. And I think it's because a lot of people have returned to, we've seen this revival in the church for a couple of reasons. And I think people realize that this is as much of a spiritual battle as it is an information battle and a war for the planet. This truly is biblical. And I think people are starting to figure it out because the conversations were different. People are not wrapped up with the status or positioning. They're wrapped up in, you know, getting right with God and getting right with getting their life in order. And for the first time in probably 10 years, I watched three people get baptized. That was pretty motivating. You know, they went up and they read their testimony of why they were being baptized. And I'm like, that's super cool. And what it does is it gives me hope that people are waking up and moving, making a shift, right? Because look, we all have to raise our consciousness. We all have to raise our belief system to something that's bigger than us. It doesn't matter what that is. I know a lot of people disagree with that, but look, there's a part in if you watch the movie Serenity, it's an offshoot of the series Firefly. If you watch Serenity, there's a part in the show where this preacher gets shot by a ship, and Malcolm comes over and says, you know, I'm looking forward to a lot more being bored by a lot more of your sermons. He goes, I think I'm done, but believe in something. He goes, you know, I don't believe in God. And he said, believe in something, just believe. And what he's saying is you have to have a belief system and a moral compass. And I'm seeing people align their moral compass with God and with spirituality. And that is a good thing. And if we get anything out of this, right? Because look, we're going to have to figure out how to undo what these people have done with the vaccines. And that is going to be a monumental task. That's going to take a lot of faith to do that. First, we have to have faith that it can be undone. Second, we have to have faith that, you know, we can heal people that have been injured by this. Some of them will never be healed. Some of it's genetic. And that's a hard pill for some people to swallow. But the biggest thing is we have to get back to some source of truth for the nation, for the world. There's no source of truth. And we have to wrestle power away from some very evil people. And all of that is going to take faith. You know, Eisenhower was on the beach in Normandy, and somebody asked him, how do you know we're going to win this war? And he's watching the lines and lines and lines of supplies going forward. And he points to them and he goes, because of that. Eisenhower had undying faith that we would be victorious and win the war. Undying throughout the war. Generals would come in and talk about a bad operation, and Eisenhower was steadfast that we would win the war. Steadfast. That's how we have to be. We have to be steadfast in our belief that we are going to be victorious and we are going to toss these people out of power and take back the planet. That's going to require faith. So believe in something. On the administrative side, I will be back on Friday with the folks over at Gray Matters doing a show. I think it's at 6:30 my time, which is 5:30 Pacific. So it'll be 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern time. We'll be doing the show with the Gray Matters crew. Looking forward to that. I'll be on with Rich Crypto on Tuesday. I had to push yesterday because I had a real world security event I had to deal with. And I'll be back on Monday with the situation report. Until then, stay alert, stay prepared, live your life. God bless. One team, one fight.